Welcome to this edition of the Disciples Men podcast with your hosts Greg Alexander and Alex Ruth. Thank you for joining us as we explore the many challenges of being man of faith in these challenging times. Disciples Men is a ministry of Disciples Home Missions of the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ in the U.S. and Canada. Let's listen in today's conversation.
Welcome to the Disciples Men podcast. This is Alex Ruth, your Associate Director of Disciples Men. And today I have with me again our Director of Disciples Men, Greg Alexander. Greg, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Alex. Thank you for asking. How are you doing?
I'm doing well as well. We've got some exciting topics that we're looking forward to on the podcast today. We've talked last time about the immature masculine, and today we get to talk about the mature masculine. So before we get into the depth of that material, go ahead, if you would, Greg, and give us a synopsis of the immature masculine, of that child psyche. What does that look like? How does that manifest itself in our lives together?
Well, I believe that's a great place to start. And I want to make a little bit broader kind of a summary of what we've been talking about.
Okay.
It's important for us to understand that the conversations you and I have had to date are really background information. What we've been trying to do is help men understand the context out of which we live our lives. We've talked about the realm of influence, about how each decision that we make in our lives, each priority we establish, et cetera, the behaviors that we exhibit, all of those things together influence the people around us, loved ones, coworkers, neighbors, whoever it is. The sum total of who we are impacts the life of the people around us. That's the realm of influence. We talked about patriarchy, which is the system of power for white males that all of us have lived with in the West for eons, and well, not eons, but you know what I mean. And so, there is a group of the people listening to the podcast, the white men, for whom there are afforded certain privileges that are not granted to other people who are not white males in Western cultures. And we've talked about the destructive nature of that and how that works against what we're trying to do with Disciples Men, because it is one of the main tools of the immature masculine, and how it negatively impacts the people around us, how it is an oppressive power scheme for the people within our realms of influence and beyond. We talked about competition being the mechanism by which we measure life, from the time we are born until present day, is that we are all engaged in systems of competition. We do that in work, we do it in commerce, we do it in family, we do it in sports arenas. Our whole life is shaped by our ability to compete with others. And we talked about the negative impact that competition has on us as men. So we've looked at the realm of influence, patriarchy, competition. These are all parts of the crucible of life for men in Western culture. The immature masculine is what allows these things to exist. It is it's a way of it controls our behavioral patterns. Unknowingly, it's not a conscious thing that we do. And so part of what we're doing is pricking the consciousness of all who listen and asking us all to step back, take a hard look at the influences in our own lives, and to see if those things are causing us to be less than what God has asked us to do with our lives and how it impacts the people in the world around us. The immature masculine's primary signature is that it focuses on self. It is a very self-centered, very self-protective, self-preservation way of looking at the world. And it is, again, because competition is such a major force, is that we measure the success of our immature masculine by how well we compete. You know, trophy wives, big jobs, fancy cars, top-of-the-line golf clubs, right, where we belong, all that kind of stuff. And when we fail, we transmit that to our kids, trying to make our kids to be that which we never could achieve. And we put that kind of pressure on our children to achieve and compete even better than what we ever did. All that's built, again, built into the culture. And that exists because we get stuck in our developmental processes at a place we call the immature masculine, where we reach a point in which all the world revolves around us, and that we've learned how we coexist the best we can in that world where everybody is a self-centered entity. Today, we're talking about the mature masculine, and the mature masculine is different from the immature masculine in that the mature masculine does not focus on self, it focuses on other. And as Christians, the other we focus on, of course, is God. And right. You and I would even break that down a little further with our ministry with men and say that it's not just focusing on God, it's focusing on how God has been revealed to the person of Jesus of Nazareth, that his life, his way of life, the way he manifested faith, all that he did, what he taught, gives us an image of who God is and shows us how we need to refashion our lives in such a way that God becomes the priority, the center of the life in which we live. And so the difference between the immature masculine and the mature masculine is who occupies our center. Is it self or is it God? And part of what we'll be talking about with the Jesus Way materials is it's the journey. We've created resources that help us make the journey, the rite of passage, actually, from the immature to the mature masculine. And it does require help to get there.
Yes. Two things that I stood out to me as you were just talking, Greg. First, this notion of a rite of passage, and I know we'll come back and talk about that here in just a few moments. But also, that this is a journey that requires us to not do it on our own, that we require the presence and help of another to make this journey from immature masculine to mature masculine.
That is correct. That is a part and parcel of how we make the journey.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit. I've done some reading in my own history on this idea of rites of passage, and there are multiple ways to think about that. I think we approach it from maybe a different perspective than some others. But talk for a little bit, if you would, about what makes a rite of passage important, or what are some rites of passages that we as men can go through?
Well, rites of passage, the history of rites of passage that we are aware of has been studied primarily in tribal cultures. And in tribal cultures, by design, the men of the culture of the tribe, when boys get to a certain age of accountability, is that they take the boys and give them training, help them understand what's going to be required of them in order for them to be a productive part of the tribe or the culture, the system in which they live. And in order for them to die to the immature boy that has existed, and in those cultures, it's also symbolic of breaking away from the hold of the mother, and the mother's influence that she has exhibited on the boy, because in those tribes, it is the mother who raises those kids up to a certain point of accountability. So at that point, the men give them the education they need, and then they take them and they literally put them in a near-death experience, whether it's turning them loose by themselves in the wilderness or whatever it is, could be many different things. But the boys literally have to go through a near-death experience, a dying to the old and a rising to the new. That language sounds familiar to us as Christians, because that's what baptism is supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah.
And so in tribal cultures, that's built into the system. And yes, some boys die. That's a reality. That's how seriously they take this need for the immature to die in the boy and the boy to rise as a man into the mature form and as a citizen of a productive citizen of the tribe. Well, we don't have that in Western cultures, and we're not going to have that in Western cultures. Right. We just have to acknowledge right. that. So then what's the alternative? Well, I believe that God provided opportunity for that to happen with or without a structure. And for me, the way I've seen that play out over the years is in circumstantial rites of passage. By that, I mean, here I am, I'm married, I got kids, I got a nice job, I'm just trucking along at life, and everything's going well, and I come home one day and I find out my wife said, I've fallen in love with somebody else, I don't want to be married to you anymore, I want a divorce, goodbye, and essentially kicks me out of the house. Well, all of a sudden, the world that I knew is gone, and right. how I had been preparing to live my life in that world was now disrupted beyond repair. And so mm-hmm. circumstance has now caused me to reevaluate my life situation. And that's a circumstantial rite of passage, is what I was and who I was can no longer be because the person who helped form and define that for me will no longer be a part of my life. It doesn't have to be divorce. Right. It can be death. For men whose identity is defined by their work, it could be loss of job. It could be a number of ways, but the circumstance comes, an unexpected circumstance comes that rocks our world. And now right. we are forced to try to figure out what we do with the new reality that we face. That's when a rite of passage opportunity comes to us in Western cultures. Sadly, go ahead.
I'm thinking that basically it is... it mimics the near-death experience in that what we anticipated, what we expected out of our lives can no longer become a reality. It has died in some form. And so then we are faced with that crisis of faith or just a completely new understanding of who we are.
That's correct. And the question becomes is what helps us make those determinations? What helps us regain our footing? What helps us figure out what life will be, in a healthy and whole way beyond the moment of that circumstance that so disrupted our world? And in Western culture, there really isn't any place that's assigned that role. I personally believe, and I know you share this belief, that should have always been the role of the church, is that the right. church's responsibility is to help people move from a place of self-centeredness, now shattered by the circumstance that they're encountering, and help them rebuild their life with God at the center. And, that's right. the work of Christian community. That's the work of faith, is to reach out and touch the lives of those people who are going through these circumstantial rites of passage and help them find their way. And, finding their way language is important for Christian people, for people who take seriously helping others find their way, because it really is. It really is finding a new pathway upon which I will walk my life and walk forward from right. in life. And that's the way it's supposed to work. When there is no system, when there is no friend, when there is no, good Christian standing in the wings to help us do that, then we are subject to whatever else is available to us. You start drinking more, take drugs, do right. some pain. Playing around, chasing after other women, to satisfy certain needs. I mean, all of a sudden your behavior changes dramatically in an attempt to fill the void and to find a new footing to stand on. But those are all empty. Those are all destructive patterns. And, yes. and so if you overcome those temptations, then the next thing to do is just to say, all this was just a dream. I'm going to go back and be who I was, even without my wife or whatever the circumstances. I'm just going to go back and be who I was. That's the great lie. That's the great lie right. that so many men in America live with who have gone through these these circumstantial rites of passage and never completed them. Now they're forced to be a false self living in a false world. And that's what causes significant trouble. I'm convinced that that's what causes men to die young. You know why we have so many health problems, is that these are all unresolved, false sense of self that, you know, that we are now trying to live in, that just eats us away over time. And so, yeah. You know, that's one of the things that we are trying to achieve with our ministry, the Jesus Way ministry, is to provide that pathway, a structured pathway, for men who, as Christian men, we do what we need to do, and prepare ourselves to be those helpers, those guides, those, you know, companions along the way. The co-journers is the language I like to use, for people who find themselves in these circumstances. And now we can come alongside and with God's help, help them establish a beautiful, solid, healthy, whole foundation, and see a new path to walk beyond the circumstance, you know, that got them there.
And it's not so much, it's not so much that we are trying to convince other men that, okay, I've taken a path through my life and I've made my own rite of passage. We're not saying that you have to experience the same things that I do, or certainly experience them in the same way that I did, or have the same even outcome on the backside of that circumstantial rite of passage. What we're saying is that this isn't a time for us to work together to find the path that is right for each person. Because as our realms of influence are unique to each individual, so is this the pathway on the other side of this rite of passage.
You are so correct. That couldn't be stated better. It isn't about making mini-me's out of each of us, those of us who have gone through rites of passage, because number one, we have to remember it's not the rite of passage, it's a rite of passage. And right. Each of us circumstantially will go through more than one rite of passage in our lives.
Yes, yes.
And so part of the faith journey is building the capacity within ourselves to deal with those moments when they come. And part of building the capacity is creating a strong band of brothers, if I can use that language, who have already walked with us in many ways, know who we are, help see us through, you know, the challenges of life. And when those new circumstances come, those rites of passage come, is that these people know how to hold us, help us, guide us, et cetera, and see us through into that new place we need to be healthy and whole again. And so part of men's fellowship groups, this is an important dynamic. It's not just that you're coming together and studying the Bible or praying together every week. You're building capacity to serve one with another, to help each other through difficult times. I was with a guy a couple weeks ago, and he was telling me that for 20 plus years, he has been meeting with the same group of five guys for breakfast once a week, where they come together for an hour. Wow. And they have a curriculum of some sort that, you know, is kind of meaningless. It's just their, you know, to kind of keep them honest. But they spend their time wrestling with issues of life. And each week, a different man brings a different concern. And they work with each other. They talk it through. They support each other. And they do pray for each other. I mean, they are there to support each other. Over 20 years of providing that kind of support for one another. I frankly can't imagine that. I mean, what a gift that would be. My hope is that when you and I hang our hats of men's ministry up way down the road, that we'll have people coming up and saying, you know, because of the Jesus Way work you all did, I have been meeting with this group of guys now for 10 years, and this is how we've helped each other through life. What a wonderful witness that would be.
Yeah, that would be phenomenal. I've shared with you and share in with a lot of folks that I've had the blessing of having, you know, a long time group of men that I meet with weekly. We also happen to all be pastors, and we've shared our lives together. And I actually was just meeting with them this morning, and we were talking about the fact that in some ways we are closer than brothers because we have shared so much of our lives together that that moniker doesn't even quite get the depth of our relationships.
And what a gift that is. I know you've expressed to me how important that is to you and your journey. And again, we all have the opportunity. There are men there around us who would be glad for these opportunities. Yeah. Just someone's got to take the lead in inviting them in, inviting them together. And, yeah, you know, you do it around in a schedule that works for everyone, you know, and it's where we got to be a little creative, but we know how to do that. It's just a matter of desire. Yeah. And, you know, this is not every man's on his island of one in life, as much as we try to live it that way. It's not true. You can't do it. It was never created or intended for us to live in that kind of isolation. And so, you know, what we're trying to do is give guys a little help in doing something that should have been done all along, in understanding that circumstances are going to come that's going to rock our worlds. And if we've been preparing ourselves and building our capacity, especially in the relationships we have with other men, we will have the tools we need to get through those rites of passage and become more mature, more whole, more centered on God as we live out our lives. And then everybody wins.
Yeah. And I think it's also important to mention that this isn't something that is necessarily age related. You don't have to be 40, 50, 60, 70 years old to know how to help someone through this journey. It's also not something where, you know, I am an expert in this. I'm journeying along with other men who are going through rites of passage in their life at the same time that I'm going through rites of passage in my own life. And we're helping one another along that journey. So it's that's the beauty, I think, of the Jesus Way material, is that it provides it provides an entry point into that conversation, into that relationship. But you don't have to be an expert. You don't have to be a trained psychologist to be willing to walk with and serve other people as they walk with and serve you on our journeys together.
That is so true. All you need to do is have enough capacity to love another in their own way, love them as they are. And the second mm-hmm. one is you got to develop the skills to listen. And, you know, that's maybe the hardest of all for us men, is shutting up long enough to listen to someone else's story. And honestly, those are the only tools that are needed: a desire to want to love as we have been loved by God through Jesus Christ, and a willingness to sit and listen and hear the story of another. We're not there to fix it. We're not there to change it. We're not there to rewrite it. All we're there to do is to listen. Jesus said, "Wherever two are gathered in my name, I will be present." Our job is to, you know, is to, as I've said many times, get the math right. You know, two of us come together. On my way to meet with you, I will pray that the Spirit of God will be present, that Jesus will show up in our conversation. That's the extent of my witness as far as verbally, but my very presence invites Jesus in. And it's Jesus' job to save or to transform or to heal. It's not mine. My job is just to build the relational bridge that Jesus can walk across into the life of the other, and let Jesus take it from there. And that's what we all have the capacity to do. That doesn't require anything more than a desire to love another, listen to the story. That's it. And walk with them for as long as it takes until they find solid footing again for themselves. How hard is that?
Yeah, it's not hard, and yet it is so critical. It is so meaningful, and like we've said several times, it is not something that is prized or valued in our culture. because the culture is so stuck in the immature masculine that there's only only so much to go around. And if I don't get mine first, then somebody else is going to take it.
Which is a competition. That's the competition element of the immature masculine.
Yeah. It we're just so stuck in this idea that it is loving another man through their journey is countercultural. And it is revolutionary, and it's also exceedingly transformative of both people.
You are so right. So, you know, so let me put a little bit more flesh on those bones, if you will.
Yes.
What happens is that's really the death knell of most men's groups, is because of the role of competition that's so dominant in our lives, is that we fail to ever develop a deeper relationship with the guys in the room, because we are afraid we will give away our competitive edge to that individual. If that person knows something that intimate about me, will they use it against me to their own gain? Now, that's the cynicism that competition pours through us in almost every encounter, because we are so bound by competition in our world. Every relationship I enter into is challenged because of competition. I don't know if I can trust you enough with me, you know, and what's deep in me, you know, that you won't use it against me at some point in time. And so men pull back, they build defenses, and, you know, they pat each other on the backside and go on their way. And that's about as close as they get. And that kills most men's groups. Because by nature, a men's group, a prayer group, a spiritual group, a study group requires you to go deeper inside to get value out of the experience. And so part of what we're trying to encourage men to understand is it's okay. You don't have to compete with these other guys. That's not what we're about. We're building communities of trust where we can be real, where we can be honest, where we can share our fears, where we can help celebrate our joys, where all of those things can be a part of that group of relationship among this group of men. That's what has to happen for our relationship with God and each other to deepen. Otherwise, we're just tiptoeing across the surface, you know, giving lip service to friendship and brotherhood, and, you know, going about our merry ways in our isolated little realms, you know, fear that someone's going to take something from us or use something we have against us. And that's what destroys men's groups is because we never get in to the basic level of trust that these groups and relationships require.
Yeah, that is so true. I've been through... been a part of so many groups where that lack of trust has really sabotaged any real, meaningful, lasting work.
And here we are, you know, today, you know, we talked about the kind of a summary in the mature masculine, and we are excited. We haven't said much about it yet, but we have, we're ready to put the bow on the first piece of curriculum under the Jesus Way heading. And, you know, within a few weeks, this will be something we'll be making available to the whole church and beyond, anybody who wants it. And so we've created a beginner, a place to start to develop the kinds of men's groups that we've been talking about in this podcast today, where, you know, the trust and the love can really be there to allow a genuine experience with each other and with God to mature over time. And so I'm really excited about what we've done together and about getting ready to, you know, make this available to anyone who wants to follow the Jesus Way.
Yeah, it is super exciting. We are just a few weeks away as we record this podcast from getting that curriculum out, and the primer version, as you said, the beginning stages, and there's more to come. I expect over this year that there will be many more pieces of curriculum coming out for different groups to use and to begin this journey together. And we would be remiss if we didn't mention a couple of other opportunities, one of which is coming up this summer, in the summer of 2020, and that's Sessions 2020, which will be at the campus of TCU in July the 10th through the 12th. And Greg and I will be some of the presenters there leading a workshop about the Jesus Way, along with some other great opportunities to learn from other men, talk about male spirituality. The theme of sessions this year is I Am My Brother's Keeper, which I think dovetails in nicely with this idea of being a guide, being a co-journer as we go through a rite of passage.
We got a lot on the horizon for us, and it's really exciting. It's really exciting. You and I, we talked earlier today about the opportunities we're getting now to go and talk with men's groups all over the United States and Canada to help them rekindle a love for this ministry like you and I share. And it's been really quite gratifying to see that the interest is still there, the hunger for a men's fellowship is still there for, mm-hmm. Productive and solid men's ministry is there. So we're hoping that those of you who listen will follow along with us and want to be a part user resources that, that we're generating. They're not going to solve any problems. It's the people in the room using the resources to their advantage that makes all the difference in the world. We know the limitation of the resource itself, but we got to have a place to start, and we're wanting to provide that for you and hope that you'll take a good look at it and give it a shot. And of course, you and I are always available, as needed to help facilitate the beginning of men's groups on congregational and, on broader levels. And so we're really excited about this ministry.
Definitely, definitely. Well, Greg, thank you so much for your time today. And I look forward to talking with you more, and everyone else can listen into our conversations as we continue the podcast here in just a couple of weeks. So again, thanks for your time today as we've talked about rites of passage and the mature masculine and some of the exciting things happening for us in the world of disciples men.
Thank you, Alex. It's so great to be on this journey with you. Looking forward to the next time we talk.
Our special thanks to our good friend, the Reverend Dr. Dean Phelps, for providing the special music of this podcast. You can discover more of Dean's music at deanphelpsmusic.com. And you can learn more about the ministry of Disciples Men on Facebook and through discipleshomemissions.org.